Ever try to get into one of Advertising Week's amazing sessions and suddenly hear that the room is at capacity? Now you can still experience it in real time. Listen to that keynote or panel as a live audio stream in the Advertising Week app, powered by Live365. Advertising Week Radio features sessions, podcast clips, curated music, and more, both during the shows and year-round. Visit aw.live365.com for easy access instructions. Live365, the world's audio.
Welcome to Great Minds for this special Penn District edition. This is something, Stephanie, that we did last year, our first year in the Penn District. We are now returning and are thrilled to be coming back once again for Advertising Week. It's a big year for us, our 20th year. We couldn't be more pleased than to be where we are with Skylight and with your partner and the real visionaries of the Penn District, an incredible story, our mutual friends at Vornado. And thrilled to have you here. So with us, Stephanie Blake, the CEO of Skylight. So welcome, a return to Great Minds, Stephanie.
Thanks, Matt. It's always a pleasure to talk with you as a visionary and innovative brain and someone who's been committed to New York for, you know, I think your whole life. So this is an exciting moment and 20th anniversary.
Feels more like a sentence. Doesn't come along every year. So thank you for saying that. And thank you. And it has been a love affair with my hometown of New York. So Stephanie, this is not about us. It's about you. And I thought it might be an interesting place to start to go back to your days at Yale, where you majored and studied history. And use that as a frame to talk about the history and recent history of where the area that we now know and love as the Penn District is today. And let's go back in history 10, 15, 20 years, even 5 years, very different, and view the evolution through the prism of history. So many parts of New York have evolved and become things that they weren't. Some have returned to things that they once were. The vision that the team at Vornado, starting of course with the founder Steve Roth, has for that part of town has been compelling, and it's really, really happening now. I mean, the vibrancy and the electricity that you feel in the Penn District is palpable. But I'd love to talk about the journey, where we were, how we got to where we are, and of course, we're going to talk about where we're going and view it through the prism of history.
I always like to think about the history starting with the center point of Moynihan Train Hall and what it was as a post office. If you go back a century and understand the way buildings were built, that building being the sister station or the sister building to the original, you know, Penn Station, which was this grand, incredible building that was demolished. And then this building is what started the whole landmarks, committee in New York, and thinking about the beauty of how things were built and what it meant to be on the west side of New York. This was the Grand Central of the West. And as you go forward, you know, the way that New York is such a dynamic environment, centers of gravity shift. And I think giving a lot of credit to Vornado and the visionary approach they had, I mean, this is half a century in the making of how do you begin to understand and identify the vibrancy and the revitalization that's possible in the middle of one of the greatest cities of New York. That is something that I fully feel incredibly honored to partner with them at this moment in time, because taking that understanding of how you think about the need to not just own a building, but own a district and own a neighborhood to be able to fuel the revitalization, that part's critical. And so knowing where you guys were even last year and the progression through COVID, post-COVID, this started so much longer ago. And when you look at it through history, right, this city of New York, the way that it's changed, the epicenter of a Times Square moving to, you know, downtown, to what's happened on the west side with the High Line, you know, there's been such a progression of where the center of gravity, what people want. What is, the cultural environment, from Lincoln Center to the High Line? That's a huge kind of departure when you think about sort of the way the city moves and the different pieces. So I think for you, I mean, when we talk, I love the way that you've seen through your own lens of how you've grown up and what your career has been in New York. And I think it converges still in the middle of this neighborhood. And you always have these anecdotes that show these sort of poignant moments of the way it's changed. And I think today, with the future of work, the future of, community, these types of environments require a new level of dynamism. And when you think about where Madison Square Garden has sat, what's happened inside its walls, but has yet failed to permeate beyond it, that is what Vornado is doing. They are creating an extension of the greatest of sports, the greatest of music, the greatest of New York in a neighborhood that expands beyond it and continues that.
Yeah, so well said. And there's been this odd historic juxtaposition. The garden, and this is the fourth edition of Madison Square Garden, the first, of course, on Madison Square, and was originally P.T. Barnum's trolley barn. It was an open air trolley barn, the very first Madison Square Garden. This version has been there since 1968. And not only is it the world's most famous arena, but it's also among the top two or three. I think there's an argument between the Garden and the O2 in London, which building is busier. But it's certainly one of the busiest buildings in the world, give or take less. At last number was 5 million. It could be more than that by now. And then you've got Penn Station, which the old beautiful landmark one that tragically were not landmarked, that got knocked down and helped, as you said, along with the Moynihan Station building, that beautiful Farley building, led to creation of the Landmarks Commission in New York, but also always drew a lot of people, a huge number of people between Amtrak, NJ Transit, the New York City subway system, the Long Island Railroad. It's actually Amtrak, I suppose, is the lead player technically, but what was around it was tough. And what Vornado has done is created a vibrancy around those core tenants, if you will, stretching from 9th to 6th and right in the middle of the Midtown in the 30s, and created something that's amazing. And that's not something that you see every day, in many ways, much harder than the construct of Battery Park City, which was done on what was effectively a piece of land created by landfill, but more or less a clean piece of land. This was not a clean piece of land. This was, in many ways, a much heavier lift.
Well, I think what's interesting is that brands have wanted to be there. When you think about, as you mentioned, the Farley Building, which is now the Moynihan Train Hall, it was sitting vacant for, 20 plus, almost 30 years. And Skylight came in, 2011, 2012, and we were able to move New York Fashion Week, all of the biggest brands that showed under that large umbrella there when it was still cobwebs. Like, we walked into that building when only 10% of it was being used by the Postal Service, and we said, hey, this is gold. Like, this location, the structure that was built 100 years ago with the soaring 60-foot ceilings, the black resin floor, the skylights, and the postal dock, this is something that many of the foremost brands and creatives would die as a canvas to create an experience. And this was pre-COVID, pre any of that. And because we sort of made a name for ourselves on the West Side with the High Line and otherwise, a lot of these brands understood if we said there was a canvas to be creative, they trusted. And being in there, now about 15 years ago or 10 years ago plus, having Fashion Week, Rag and Bone, Prabal, some of the biggest, Phillip Lim, all of these shows move from the tents at Lincoln Center to this vacant post office where you had Anna Wintour sitting front row in what was seen as a cobwebbed, impossible building to do anything. And that was a moment marking, I think, the first progression of what could be in this neighborhood outside of where, yes, Madison Square Garden has lived, but yet, yeah, nothing happens outside of that. It's a very isolated interior space where, that's an incredible entertainment venue, but the neighborhood around it doesn't see that. After that, when we launched, Jay-Z's Tidal, you had on the stage in again this vacant post office, pre it being this train station, you had Madonna, next to Jay-Z, next to Kanye, next to Rihanna, and to bring that level of star power to a neighborhood that was somewhat languishing outside, it still was interior. And so I think what Vornado has done and what we hope to discuss with you and you know begin to launch at this 20th anniversary of Advertising Week is this concept of taking what happens inside buildings and spilling out into the streets and creating a canvas that enables a neighborhood to participate, and where you take what happens inside a building and you expand it outward. And so with Madison Square Garden being there with the best of music, the best of sports happening inside, how do we draw that out and bring it to the streets, bring it to the venues, bring it to the vibrancy of the outdoor places that have been created now as part of this neighborhood?
Let's talk a little bit and drill down into just the past year since we had you on. We had you on stage as well. So it's give or take about a year now. An awful lot has happened. Give us a snapshot, Stephanie, into where the Penn District is today, the evolution over the past year, the closure and opening of that street between 7th and 8th Avenues. That's a big deal. A lot of the scaffolding's gone. The beauty is staggering. The restaurants are opening, more to come. Give us a snapshot as to where we are today and the progress that has been made over the last year.
An entire new building has opened, you know, Penn 2 being sort of this extension of what you guys experienced last year and even closer to the hub of where you guys will have your center point. 33rd Street that runs between 7th and 8th Avenue and obviously throughout New York and is this thoroughfare and runs right adjacent to Madison Square Garden and is in the heart of the district is an incredible, I think, gift to the city because when you look all the way out, you know, west, you're all the way out to the Hudson River, but you're seeing all the development that's happened on the west side. And then you look east, and it's one of the most important streets now in New York, just given the vantage point you have across the cross section of New York City. And that really wasn't visible because of all the construction that had to be done and the scaffolding, and to your point, things being closed off. So I think that being done and opened up, that entire plaza really becomes the heartbeat of the campus itself. And that was something that couldn't be experienced last year. As well as, of course, the building opening, which has incredible office, but also has an amazing venue on the second floor, the town hall, which is floor-to-ceiling glass. You have state-of-the-art technology, and you have, again, with the floor-to-ceiling glass, any time of day, you look out and you really feel like you are in the midst of New York City, in the fabric of New York, in a way that many other spaces don't give you that sort of full vantage point above the streets, but also looking out at the billboards, looking out at, you know, you're right adjacent to the Empire State Building, looking straight down to where the Freedom Tower is and out to the west side of the Hudson River. And above the town hall is also what is the Perch, which is this incredible rooftop, which the discovery of that was, you know, the specific vantage point when you stand on that rooftop is really unlike anywhere else in New York. Because of all of the landmarks in New York and all of the iconic buildings that are visible. And instead of being above it all, where you feel like you're in an ivory tower, you feel like you're in the midst of the energy. So you're looking, you know, eye level halfway up to look at the Empire State Building, you're looking at the Chrysler Building, you're looking straight down, you have a vision, you have a visual all the way down to the Empire, sorry, to the Statue of Liberty. And then you're looking out, you see the High Line, you see Hudson Yards, you see all of the pieces of the Hudson River out to Jersey. And I think that moment, it's, you know, we talk about it as you're in it in a way that I think New Yorkers today are so conscious of not sitting above it, but wanting to be in the midst of it all.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And I'll pay you sort of the highest compliment I can, which also tells you something about me. I've been coming into that area my whole life. So I'm probably old enough to remember, going back to 5 or 6. So this goes back now 55 some odd years ago that I've been coming, to Penn, to the Garden, to what is now the Penn District. And I've taken to working into Penn. I love the landing, where we do our breakfast series, the social stairs, is that what you call it?
Social stare.
Social stair. And I love that space. I'll be there tomorrow morning for 3 breakfasts. And there was one day early on when I first started to, really hang out there, and use it as a place for meetings. And, you know, with Advertising Week being in the Penn District, you know, obviously very logical. But I remember walking out the door sort of where Blue Ribbon is and that library space that you have, and walking out, and I looked and I had a moment where I wasn't sure where I was. And I looked up and I'm like, wait a minute. And it took me a second to refocus myself and say, look at this, because it is in so many ways completely unrecognizable and so much for the better. And it all happened, I know it's been years, but the evolution just from 2023 to 2024 is amazing.
Yeah, I think, and the beauty of it is also something that is usable and in some ways uplifting, to your point of it feeling unrecognizable in terms of some of the, you know, past experience of what that neighborhood is. But because all the public spaces and the ground floor has been so elevated and designed so thoughtfully in terms of, you know, where there's respites, where there's oases, where you can come in and still feel the dynamism, like to your point, where you walk in, you know, from the train and you have the library space, but then you walk up to the social stair, the gathering opportunity is something that really doesn't exist in any other office building in New York. You know, the idea of allocating, I think it was 3 or 4 times the space to a lobby environment, to then the upstairs, to blending it with the restaurant and the level of hospitality in terms of the welcoming nature, but also an environment that encourages conversation and also enables you to go there, yeah, before a meeting and have a coffee and work on your laptop. And I think that thoughtfulness is truly the way that I think real estate has thrown around the term hospitality, but hasn't always implemented what that means from the way that we understand it as consumers. And that's something I think you feel. And I love that your experience has been growing up through the, you know, through the decades, through this district, because it has shifted. And I think one thing I'll say that has made Skylight incredibly excited to be working with Vornado here is the integrity with how they've, you know, tenanted the ground floor and thoughtfully thought about what restaurateur, what retailer, how does this feel of and by New York, and bring that together. And I think that's where the soul of the district is still felt, even with some of the new construction and being innovative. There's still this commitment to New York City and a feeling of this is what New York deserves.
Yeah, they've created a home. And that's really extraordinary. So let's talk about something you touched on, which is extending that notion of entertainment, engagement, music, let's just call it across the performing arts, and delving into social impact and what that vision is going forward as you seek to create a sort of district-wide game plan that goes beyond what happens inside the walls, but brings that spirit and substance to the entire Penn District.
When I think about the idea of what social impact means or mission-driven opportunities, I think we've seen that rise happening in many industries over the last, I don't know, 2 decades, right? Where the idea of voting with your dollar, why might you choose one product or another? Who might you choose to, you know, follow or work for? I think, you know, the past sort of however many years of feeling like in a polarized environment, how do we come together? I think there's been much more of an interest in emotional marketing and emotional advertising and how you might stand for something based on purchases that you make. And we see this a lot as Skylight and in our work with cultural institutions, where philanthropic dollars are merging with marketing dollars. And I think how this applies to our work with Vornado and at Penn District is really about the meeting of social impact and people's ideas of the legacy. And I think, you know, what I was expressing about how Vornado has been so intentional with how they've tenanted, how they've thought about, you know, really making this place continue to have soul and have integrity is something that rarely is offered up as a canvas for some of the most celebrated cultural leaders to play ball in and to then take their own legacies and how they want to impact the world and merge. And that's the pioneering spirit of what we're working on with Vornado, where Vornado is truly the benefactor of this idea of mission-driven development, right? Where you're bringing together the social impact missions of the built environment with individuals who've built their careers on an environment and now are looking to give back. And that merging, I think, is really interesting. And I think that's where thinking about the brands who are going to be attending Advertising Week and their own social impact missions and how they look to advertise and market and get their consumers engaged with them on an emotional level, there's an opportunity to authentically and organically come together with us based on that. And I really believe that this merging of, real estate and the vision of the built environment with the social impact of some of these cultural leaders can change the world, can create these vibrant places where people feel good about going and also feel uplifted. And there's a universal opportunity to be engaged in good without it being polarized by pure politics or by, a lot of the conversation that can happen these days in terms of why I think it's challenging to find these hubs of community or these third spaces that you and I have talked about in the past.
Yeah, I think, when we look back, we're publishing a book as part of the 20th that Ruth is really the brains behind and celebrating the great advertising, all the pop icons. And the very first thing that we ever did when we started 20 years ago was we had literally had a parade through Times Square with, Mr. Clean and Charlie Tuna and the M&Ms and the Keebler Elves, and we had McDonald's and the Red Shoe Car and the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and on and on and on and on. And what I said then and wrote in the foreword to the book is New York City has always been a great stage. And what you are doing in the Penn District is creating, let's call it a new Broadway theater within that stage of New York that goes from 9th Ave to 6th Ave and bringing a vibrancy to New York. New York's very resilient. We managed to go forward. We've had some lousy mayors and de Blasio, and the jury is out on Eric Adams. The jury may be calling Eric Adams soon. there's a resiliency to New York, and the Penn District has always managed resilience, but it is now elevated to such a degree. And that whole corridor, going all the way west to the Hudson River has been revitalized. But you took something that had some real challenges, and the vision that Steve Roth and his team have had, and it's our privilege to get to work with people like Glenn and with Lisa and that whole team, is really unbelievable. And this is an epic story of determination, vision, and sort of the right game plan. And then bringing in Skylight to bring it all to life, just sort of turbocharges the whole thing.
I think that there is, I will venture to say, while we have other partners, that Vornado is, one of the at the right moment has been incredibly visionary, and the desire to innovate and to meet the moment and to provide truly an environment that is for the community that they desire to have there, as well as the community of New York City. I think that storyline is something that runs, is the undercurrent for the way you describe this as the Broadway theater stage. I don't think this could be done by anyone who had not cut their teeth growing up in New York, who hadn't spent the last, half a century understanding, what New York is. And I do think out of challenge comes innovation and living through this. This vision was there pre-COVID, but also living through COVID and that level of challenge, I think, has only made Vornado's desire greater and Skylight's desire greater to build something incredible that can withstand and can answer to how quickly things are changing and the evolution of what a consumer wants or why are people getting off their couch and coming to work or wanting to be in the built environment at all. And so I think there's been a propelling and a kind of expansive energy put toward the vibrancy of what this can be and a level of innovation that we might not have had to see. The world wouldn't have to see it right now if, COVID had not happened, if there hadn't been challenges with the neighborhood, and then honoring the pillars of what the neighborhood has been. So while we can't reveal too much, but music is absolutely a pillar of this neighborhood. And I think music also happens to be such a universal, unifying, part of society. You know, language and words can be so polarizing, can be so challenging. And there's so much research that continues to come out around music being such a tool for connectivity. It activates parts of the brain that language can't activate. There's an exchange of atoms. And recently, I don't know if you saw, I think it was on CBS on Sunday morning, they were hosting a gentleman who'd been devoting his life to this level of research around the endorphins people enjoy as a result of working out. How do you get that any other way? And music is the only other mechanism to achieve that same level of endorphin. And when you feel and listen to a song or music, that level of emotional, not just within yourself, but how it might make you feel connected and not alone and sharing that emotion with others. That's a really beautiful thing. And we think of that as, you know, this construct of what we're putting together of social impact and mission-driven development here at Penn. Music is a critical part of that. And it's becoming this fifth wall, you know, the focus on what do you feel? How do you know, sound? It's really the invisible and yet fifth wall of architecture and of environments. And so I think that is one of the first places we've started when we think about bringing together some of these culturally celebrated leaders and artists and their social mission. It's a really beautiful storyline.
Well, it's a great story. It's one that is very much still, I won't call it the early stages, but there's a big road ahead. So much has been accomplished, so much more to get done, bringing it to life programmatically, as you're talking about. And it's exciting. And we were thrilled to support the launch and really help you establish the Penn District as the bellwether neighborhood for New York. We're thrilled to be coming back there this year for our 20th, and excited to have you and a great, great cast on stage with us, Stephanie, once again. I can't thank you enough for doing this. And this has now become an annual tradition. So as long as we're in the Penn District, we're going to harangue you to come back every year and give us a little snapshot as to how it's changed over the year. And I'm sure there'll be another huge leap ahead.
We celebrate you being one of the first to also have the vision to activate across the district and show how brands can also do that. And I think as we've grown and expanded from last year to this year, I think you guys have also paved the way to show, you know, how the most innovative in the advertising space and marketing space can be the first to dive in and show the way this can be a vibrant district and taking it all together. You'll be in the town hall, you'll be on the perch, you'll be in the social stair at the landing in 100 West 33rd. So there's so much that you guys will take.
Very, very big fan of the landing. I will literally be there for three breakfasts tomorrow. Eight, nine, and 10. You'll see me there all morning. Well, Stephanie, thanks to you. Thanks to the team at Vornado and Tiffany and your whole team. I know Frank loves working with Tiffany. They are joined at the hip.
Well, your team couldn't be more professional. We love Frank. Love you. We think it's an amazing, you guys are an amazing, amazing organization. So we're happy to be partnered
It's a
here.
mutual admiration society. And thanks, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.